All right, welcome to the show. The boss getting us going, just like he did last night at the Super Bowl at halftime. Even the Cardinal fans, who I think were impressed with Bruce Springsteen, although that was a very tough time for the boss to have to come on after the one of the bigger debacles in Super Bowl history with the last play of the first half. Grant Woods here. Appreciate you guys joining in with us, downloading the podcast every week. And Kerry Dozer, Mark Cordes, as usual, our regular guest. And Steve Claussen, former big shot with the Cardinals announcing team.
See, once I left, the Cardinals made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, what's the deal here? Is that coincidence?
I don't know. Yeah, very well could be.
I'm not sure. Steve Claussen in the house here. Okay, I get to tell you all my little tales here. I'm a little sleep deprived because we flew here after the game and got here about 3 or 4, something like that, which is 5, 6 Tampa time, so that's pretty much no sleep. But I'm feeling okay now that I saw Kerry, who apparently has been cocktailing for the last week at the FBR, so I think...
Betty Ford called, I'm late. My session started this
morning. Wow. And you were out there too, Mark?
She has a little blood in her alcohol stream. I was out at the Open
Did
a little
you
bit.
Jerry?
No.
We couldn't make it. We were supposed to hook up on Tuesday night for his little deal or no deal thing. He was Howie Mandel.
I was Howie Mandel in the pairings party, which was a blast. Everybody else
was going to be one of the briefcase girls.
Yes.
But I had another engagement, and as it turned out to be quite a fateful night. The dinner didn't even happen because
Wow. Okay, we're going to get to all that, but you FBR folks, I don't know if you knew there was another event.
Missed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nadal, Federer. It wasn't that. Now, that was great, though. I have to, just mention for the tennis fans out there. Now, it's kind of screwed up because you had to tape it or else try to avoid the news all day, which is always impossible. But the Nadal, Federer match was a kind of a repeat of the Wimbledon match, which is most everybody thinks was maybe the greatest tennis of all time. And they did it again for 4 sets anyway. The 5th set, something happened to Federer. I'm not sure what. But for 4 sets, they played absolutely out of their mind. And I think the best tennis that's ever been played is being played right now by those two guys. And Federer cannot beat Nadal now. He beat him on a hard surface. But if you watch those guys, it's absolutely phenomenal. So French Open's next. That's probably going to go to Nadal. He's almost unbeatable on clay, and then rematch in Wimbledon probably. So very exciting. Now another little event happened, and that was of course the Super Bowl. Flew out there. I'm supposed to report to all of you, and I'll just say we were greatly outnumbered.
Yeah.
Cardinal fans on the streets, no exaggeration, I would say 50-1.
Not surprising.
Just a huge Steeler contingent there. And at the game, not as bad. There were, a lot of Cardinal fans there. That's another thing. The Cardinal fans, how long have you been a Cardinal fan? People say, ever since Game 8.
This year.
Yeah.
November.
Yeah. No, yeah, I know. That's how it is. Oh, ever since they beat Atlanta in the playoffs. I mean, the Steeler guys, this is their life. They are insane back there. And they don't have much going. Last night, after the game, when we're leaving, and most of the Steeler fans were pretty cool, including a couple guys I sat next to who were really the greatest fans you can imagine, but really nice guys. But some asshole was, of course there's a few. They're drunk. And he's like, hey, have fun going back to Arizona. And I did say to him, have fun living in Pittsburgh.
That's
yes.
Right. That's right.
Thank you.
Great place to be from.
Yeah.
Take care now.
Sorry.
But
you think
it's sunny in Phoenix tomorrow. What is it, 12 and snowing in Pittsburgh?
Nothing to do there. There's and it's not the best looking crowd, I will say.
These
Steeler contingent. And most of them drunk. But like I said, there was this kid next to me. I don't know how old he was, but late 20s, something like that, with his buddy, mid-20s maybe, and they were like ultimate fans. Why they were sitting where they were sitting, I'm not sure. That's a whole other story, because it appeared that our little section there was all people, they were all people who had gotten their tickets from the Bidwells, and in the middle of maybe 75 people like that, or 50, there's two Steeler fans, and I talked to them about that. They got their tickets on StubHub.
Oh, somebody put their tickets up.
So that wouldn't be good, would it, if you get the ticket from the owner?
No.
And then you put it up,
sell
yeah.
it.
And, like, best seats in the house?
Yeah, that's
and
not
you
good.
Sell it?
Trust wow. me.
So,
that's
yeah, yeah. In any sport, that's a real no-no.
No,
so
you
don't
sure.
do that. But this kid, you got to appreciate this. So at the end there, I mean, one of my pet peeves in sports is that they don't show replays half the time. If it's controversial, they won't show it. And that has got to change. It's got to change because that means that the biggest fans, the people who paid the money to go to the event,
can't see it.
They don't know what's going on, whereas everyone who just stays at home and does nothing gets all every angle 15 times over. So we did not know on a lot of these plays, good, bad, or indifferent. And so this kid would call his mom in Pittsburgh.
And ask for the replay.
Yeah, what's it showing? What's it showing? And on the last play, absolutely hysterical. I mean, the one where the guy catches it in the end zone with the, you know, dragging his feet. Beautiful. One of, you
unbelievable.
Know, one of the great
yeah.
catches
best 10
of all
toes
time.
Down ever.
Fantastic catch, unfortunately, yeah. for us. But this guy, he's, I got to call my mom. I got to call my mom. Because they're reviewing, right, you know? And he calls it, and you hear him, and he's like, Mom, is it in? Is he in or not? Is it count? Does it count? Mom, for God's sake, Mom, I don't care about that. Does it count? What are they saying?
God.
What's John Madden saying? Damn it, Mom. What the? Okay, I'm sorry I swore, Mom.
Oh, my God.
You're killing me, Mom. She would not, I don't know what
him.
She was talking about.
Somebody wow. was having a baby or something.
Oh, yeah, something about something the family
really
or
random.
Something.
Yeah. You know, well, your maybe cousin she was watching. Jerry's getting married.
Maybe
Mom,
she was watching
shut
all
up.
The different replay angles.
I don't know. It seemed pretty That's clear, but this guy absolutely killing himself.
Because you not only had to make sure he had his toes in, but that he had possession
he
of the ball
it.
Once he went.
He had it all the way. I mean, it was sick.
That's taking codependency to a whole new level, though, when you got to call your mom to ask about plays.
You know what?
He needs to get a girlfriend.
They were, yeah, I mean, he was a great fan, and they do live and breathe that. But, you know, hats off to the Cardinals. It was an unbelievable game, unbelievable experience.
And great for the town. I mean, how about it? Like, you always used to talk about, you know, you wanted your kids to have a team
yeah.
to root for.
Yeah, now
and
we
you
got
know what?
One.
Now they're legit. I mean, they can say, yeah, we've been there. We've done that.
They
do
are legit,
time.
And they're going to be there for a while because we're in a crummy conference. That conference ain't getting any better for a couple of years.
No,
I don't
the 49ers
think.
Will be better next year, though.
Better.
It'll be between
we're
going to
be better. We're going to be better, I think.
Defensive Warner comes back.
Warner's back. Are you kidding me?
I don't
know.
Going
to offer him $18 million for 2 years?
I don't know that he's going to come back.
Okay, wow. I will guarantee you
yeah,
Warner will
I'm
come back.
I'm voting he's coming back.
Guarantee you,
you
he'll
know
be
what?
Back.
I want to think about what a freak that guy is. I was doing a little math here. That was Super Bowl 43, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So that means there's been 86 starting quarterbacks in Super Bowls. He's got the top three of all-time passing yards.
Unbelievable.
Number one, two, and three are all Kurt Warner
Fantastic.
In the Super Bowl.
38 years old.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah.
I mean, that. Think about that, who's been there.
That's amazing, but let me give you the counter to that. Yeah. Terry Bradshaw has four rings.
Oh, yeah.
Montana
oh,
has four
rings. It's because he had to throw.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger has two, and he had a terrible Super Bowl his first time out.
All he did was hand the ball off to people. Yeah, I know.
And he made the one pass to Hines Ward.
Yeah.
And Terry Bradshaw probably had the best offensive line for all
yeah,
of those
thank
years.
You.
Right,
yeah.
But ask Kurt Warner, would he trade those passing records?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it just tells you.
He would, but, you know, I always think that's overrated. I have to say. It's not overrated if we're talking about Nadal and Federer. Or if
oh
you're talking
God.
Or if you're talking about Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Or somebody who can do it on their own. But these guys who go, oh, Charles Barkley never had a ring. Oh, okay. Scottie Pippen has how many rings? And that guy wouldn't worth a damn. But he happened to be, you know, how was he on another team? You take Sean Marion and put him on, you know, on a crappy team. How has he done? How's he done lately? I haven't seen much from him.
Who's a better player, Barkley or Robert Horry?
Yeah, thank you. Oh. Exactly.
No,
So Kurt Warner, I mean, and a perfect example is like, yeah, Roethlisberger has a ring now from last night, and Kurt doesn't. On the basis of what, really? I mean, at the end of each half, you had a play. You had something happen.
Sure.
Yep.
One was a ridiculous play. The other was them moving the ball, 80 yards in a minute and a half. Both of those are so improbable.
Freaking.
That's going to happen, and they both had to happen. Now, take in my view, the play that absolutely, you know, killed the game was at the end of the first half. Just a ridiculous deal. And by the way, I did say, as Mr. Seth Salka, our executive producer, knows, who was emailing me during the game, I was calling for Larry time.
Yes.
Many times there. They needed to lob the ball to the corner to Larry on that play, which they ended up doing later, by the way, and it worked. But then if you do that, then the worst-case scenario is you're going to get 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to intercept because either Larry's going to get it or nobody's going to get it. But the that turnaround there, let's say the guy does intercept, which is, I mean, nightmare. What are the odds that dude would run it back 100 yards?
Oh.
No one stopped him? No,
looked like he was going to die.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, James Harrison was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, he's a great player.
So
you've got 100 yards to catch him.
Impossible.
If he's tackled,
highly improbable.
The game is over.
Exactly.
I know. And that's a
seven-point
swing,
mm-hmm.
and we win the game.
Now,
changes everything.
I'd like to credit Ken Wisenhunt for one thing, challenging the first Pittsburgh touchdown.
That was great.
It was a great call.
That was great.
But I question one thing, not his coaching, but his decision-making on the opening kickoff. The Cardinals won the opening kickoff,
right.
And the NFC has now won 12 straight opening kickoffs, or coin tosses, if you're interested. They pointed that out during the broadcast. But if I had been Ken Wisenhunt, given the prolific Cardinals offense that there is, I would put Kurt Warner and company out there in the field right away and run the hurry-up offense, gotten Pittsburgh back on their heels and off kilter, and maybe the game might have turned out different.
Yeah, I'm for that. With our team, we're not.
Defense
known.
Is not the Cardinals' strength.
It's not.
Offenses.
So I agree with that.
Put them out there and let them score.
The only take I had on that was the Cardinals were number one in the league in third quarter scoring. And so my thought was, everybody's nerves are going to be jacked up.
Right.
So let's come out of halftime. And just think if it would have happened. Think if that interception wouldn't have happened, we would have scored right at the end of the first half and then had the ball.
You're exactly right.
To start the third quarter.
All we had to do is score a field goal. It's 10-10, and then we get the
ball. And we get the ball.
We have all the
momentum. And it would have looked genius. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
It was almost impossible. It was almost impossible for us to not at least get 3 points. We might have gotten 7 points. 7 points is a 14-point
The worst swing. Thing is that was first down. That interception. I mean, it wasn't even like third down. You know, they could have thrown three to Fitzgerald in the corner.
It was sick.
That third quarter scoring statistic can be a little bit deceiving because you look at a game like when they played the Jets, when they got blown out in the first half, but then they made the comeback in the second half, and there were a couple of other games like this. So they did rack up other points. I would put Warner, Fitzgerald, Breston, Kwan out there and let them go.
Yeah.
And prove to Pittsburgh that they can stop them.
Yep, I agree with that. Now, what about the end? I do have a beef at the end, who knows whether it would have made a difference or not. But the NFL is claiming today, I guess, that they did review that whether that was a fumble or forward pass. That, we don't know whether they did or not. I guess you've got to trust that they're not lying about it, but that was an awful quick review. It didn't look like they reviewed it. It looked like they just said that's the way it is and
didn't
review it.
Yeah, there was no stoppage in play, but, Al Michaels and John Madden said that it had been reviewed. Now, we're going to have to
the guy said that today, the assistant big shot referee or something, sent out a statement saying it was reviewed. So, I don't know. I mean, not reviewing it made absolutely no sense.
Well, most importantly, what did that fan next to you's mom think?
He was definitely in.
Yeah. One other thing, too, I wish would have happened in the game yesterday, and I thought it was. When Pittsburgh was driving, I was actually hoping they would kick a field goal to send the game to overtime.
Yeah.
Because there's never been an overtime Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And, this was such a classic Super Bowl.
I was having so much fun, I really didn't want it to stop.
Well, not only that.
Well, I would have preferred us just to win outright.
But it also
second choice would have been overtime.
It also could have done one other thing, too. If, for example, what happened in that game happened in the San Diego-Indianapolis game in the playoffs, where the Chargers took the ball and marched down the field on the opening play or the opening series.
Yeah,
of
then
overtime.
We could have gotten rid of that coin flip.
You could have gotten
rule.
A change in the overtime rule, or at least it would have been discussed a lot more than it is now.
Which they've got to get rid of.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Terrible.
If you win the coin flip, you win the game, 80% of the time?
Right. Actually not.
It's high.
It's not that high. Believe it or not, it's...
This is like, why Steve
you know
is
who
in
like?
The house.
Almighty
he's like Cliff Clavin.
No, he
wow.
is. Not
no,
Mike.
No, I,
he
I,
is.
I've argued this before. Believe it or not,
is.
It's only around
and
50%.
And carries Norm.
No.
Yes. I will send you the stat on it, but
nice.
It's only... It's actually, I think, slightly under 50%.
Okay, whatever. We don't care.
Okay.
We don't care about that. Now, look, there was a couple other highlights. There's a family right outside the entrance to the Super Bowl, and they have a bunch of signs and like a cross, a big cross and stuff like that, and they are screaming at people who are coming in, supposedly in the for pro-Christianity, but
gives us a good name.
I just don't get it because there's not one person who would respond to that positively. I mean, they are yelling at people. And I even gave the guy, most people were, you know, really steamed at these people. I gave him, I thought, a good line, and the guy totally brushed me off because they kept yelling, they're picking on us. They would go, "Don't. All you drunks out there, and you're out here on a Sunday, that's a cardinal sin. It's a cardinal sin." They kept saying cardinal sin. And so when I walked by, I said, "What about thou shalt not stealer?" And they were sticking with the cardinal sin part.
I like that.
But who would do that?
Heckling in the name of the Lord? Not a good idea.
Those doofuses are always out there.
What is the deal?
They show up at these events.
But they're not nice. I mean, there is no one who's going to go, you know, let me think about that, you know. And by the way, I don't remember Jesus really having that sort of caustic, mean, negative attitude, you know, just...
Hey, excellent. Even Jesus is watching his Vizio today, dude. Get home.
Yeah, no, come on, man. A little time
Jesus
off.
Jesus has his feet up. Oh, little he's got time a plate off. Of wings. But,
by the way, yeah, speaking
about
of
tequila.
Wings, Springsteen was great. I agree.
Oh,
and,
my
you know,
God.
Put down the chicken fingers and guacamole.
Oh, speaking of wings, you were your favorite group?
Wings?
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney?
Yeah, wasn't that your favorite group?
No.
I thought it was. Uncle Albert.
No.
You were always playing that in the KTR days.
No.
You
love
that.
Springsteen, I thought, did one thing wrong.
No,
he did.
What?
At the very end of his concert, he said, "I'm going to Disneyland. Dude, you're in Florida. I'm going to Disney World."
God. Okay, sorry. It was a live performance. Ever. You know, 12 electric minutes of rock and roll in the one of the more difficult venues, a Super Bowl halftime, puts on a rock and roll show like no other.
Fantastic.
But he screwed up that word.
He did.
I mean, it ruined it for me.
No.
What about you?
It
ruined it for me.
I missed it.
Now, Grant,
entirely.
You were at the Super Bowl, so
yes.
You saw this. Isn't it amazing on how they get that Super Bowl together?
The stage and everything.
Yeah, for people that haven't been there, it's, you know, it's longer halftime, thank God, because you basically have to bring in an entire stage, a light set, sound, and then all those people that come in and dance and do the candles. And
which is a good idea.
And when we went last year when it was here, and I said, they can't possibly pull this off.
They do.
And the clock's ticking.
I'm going, oh, my God. And they did it with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers last year. And it was great. And the sound was fantastic.
Yep.
I don't know how they do it.
I'll tell you a quick story on that. The first Super Bowl I went was Super Bowl 29 in Miami, the San Francisco San Diego game. And I had a roam pass, so I was like going all over. And approaching halftime was like way up in the end zone. But I happened to be near one of the NFL guys who was helping to coordinate putting the halftime stage and stuff on. And it is such an exact science. They're looking out in the field going like, section 6 is 12 seconds behind schedule. Section 14 is 2.
Oh, yeah, really?
And it's like, they have that thing so well choreographed. It is just absolutely amazing to watch.
I think everything they did there, I mean, from my point of view, I'm not a big Faith Hill fan. She's a little thin on the voice. So I will take her out of it. She did pick one of the easier songs ever to sing. You know, three chord songs. So she was fine. Okay, but forgetting her, Jennifer Hudson, I thought was fantastic, and you know, obviously very difficult. She's very nervous, first time back since this tragedy happens to her family, and then the flyover was super cool. They have the U.S. Airways guys there, fantastic. Springsteen knocks them dead. I mean,
by the way,
so much
beautiful.
Of this game.
By the way, you noticed they didn't let the U.S. Airways guy do the flyover because there was no room to land in the field.
He might have been able to do it.
By the way, now, not to throw a little damper on this, but did you know that Faith Hill and Jennifer Hudson's was in the can? That was lip-synced?
No. Well, I believe her, Faith Hill. I don't. Jennifer Hudson was?
And it was on today. I read it online, and they said the NFL has now recommended that they do it because it just takes away the
right.
And
well, the boss wasn't. Why
and they get
it.
Well, because if you mess up a song there, it's not a big deal. But if you script the national anthem with all the
features. That's true.
And so they say they want it submitted a week in advance, and then they just lip sync it.
Wow.
Well, Faith Hill is famous for having a thin voice.
Yeah.
A voice.
She's unattractive, though.
Yeah. Well, she's fine, but
she's
you know, in the studio nowadays and over the past many years, you can make a voice not so thin.
Like Britney Spears.
Well, pretty much all those
perfect
girls.
Example.
Yeah. How about Paris Hilton? She had a hit single, and she can't sing a lick. You
hey,
know?
Speaking of things going unbelievably well, did you hear about the little episode in Tucson?
Don't bring that up yet.
Okay.
It's coming up.
I don't even. That's why.
You don't know. I know.
It's the
but
Grant
it is
Wood
coming
show.
Up.
That's why I don't know.
It is coming up.
Pipe down.
Yes, we did. And I think it's going to be specially honored.
Awesome. Oh, it is.
Don't you think it should be?
Yes.
In Arizona.
For more reasons than one.
Yes. Only in Arizona can that happen.
So, what do you think? Best Super Bowl ever?
Well, for us it was because it was you know, the Cardinals. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean, here's the thing. It's just like when the Diamondbacks were in 2001, when you have the Suns, and whenever that was, 93 or
93.
Something. When your team goes to the championship, I mean, that's just something completely different. I mean, going to the Super Bowl, that's great. I mean, last year's Super Bowl was obviously one of the great games. Mm-hmm. That's great. But it's not – when it's your team and then your team plays one of the classic games ever, which you would have to put the Diamondbacks, obviously, in – in 2001.
That was a pretty good one, though. I mean, even people who don't.
Oh, I mean, I say that was the best World Series ever. But certainly for us, it was.
Right.
So for Cardinal fans, it was. For everybody else, it was one of the best ever. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How about the second highest ratings on TV of all time?
That's amazing.
Second only
too.
To last year.
Who would have thought the Cardinals would pull that
exactly.
off?
Exactly.
But yeah. it was one thing. We were outnumbered in Pittsburgh and at the stadium and all that, and all the, you know, all the so-called experts were picking us to lose, of course. But I think around the country, I bet we had more people pulling for us because everybody likes the underdog.
Who's the underdog?
And Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald are great guys. Everybody loves them. So, you know, not bad. By the way, another knock on the Cardinals, I'll have to say. I mean, they did play like a team that was undisciplined. I mean, I've never
seen. Made too many mistakes, sure.
They made a ton of, and not just mistakes, bonehead mistakes. The holdings, the personal fouls. I mean, my God, they were and on the field they were fighting. Now maybe that it was Pittsburgh as well. Obviously, it takes two to fight, I guess. And once again, in the stadium, you can't tell. These guys were going at it the whole time, and the Cardinals just didn't seem to keep their cool, and that hurt them. It hurt them badly.
I think it means something when really most of your team has not been there before.
Yeah, I
mean,
think
Kurt
so
Warner
too.
Kurt Warner is a great presence, but like when the Diamondbacks were in the World Series. None of those guys were 23 years old.
Yeah, that
Almost
helps.
Almost all of them had been there at
that
some
really
point
helps.
In time. And so, you know, you say to Randy Johnson, you're going in relief. He goes, okay.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody else might go, it's not
freaking
what I do,
out.
Right? And they don't fight. They don't do stupid stuff.
Yeah,
so
exactly. I think they made a lot of – they had a lot of stupid stuff.
They did. But there's also an advantage that Pittsburgh had is they play in the AFC North. It's a much tougher division,
yep.
Physical, with Baltimore and, you know, Cleveland is that rival where they're always, you know, fighting. The mm-hmm. Cardinals don't play in that type of division,
no.
So that gives the Steelers an advantage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But, you know, what a great thing for Arizona and everything. So I thought it was great. Now, we have another sports story that we have to talk about, though, and that is the Phoenix Suns.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to. The question is, what is wrong with the Phoenix Suns? And I did mention, you know, this will give you an idea because Super Bowl, I'm sure Carrie's Super Bowl experience last year was similar to her FBR experience this year that we're going to hear about.
Not at all similar.
Right, yeah. All a blur. I did not have that experience in Tampa because my in-laws are all from Tampa. And so I flew there. Yes, it was a big, you know, big deal. You go on the private plane. Thank you to Nate Nathan who provided
Nate.
The plane. Yes, and a
nice.
Bunch of guys who were fantastic. And on the way back, thank you to Doug York and his guys. Not as much fun because you know it was.
You lost.
It's we lost, and more importantly, it's you know everyone's trying to sleep because it was, you know, late. But we had a great time, and those guys went off and started hitting the parties, and I went to see the new Twins. And
is that a euphemism? Oh, okay.
No, they saw the Twins too.
Yeah, I've been to some of those places in Tampa.
73 like, strip joints in Tampa.
The Mons Venus.
Oh, you've been there. I heard about
that.
Yes, yeah,
they make money.
I heard about
foul.
That.
Oh, it's a beautiful
what
place.
What a terrible name for a club.
It's a breast lounge.
Yeah.
is what
God.
I like.
No, seriously, I just heard about it. No, they will not turn it on because, you know, when's it going to seem to be a lot of challenges. One is that the economy is... pretty obviously, the Super Bowl with the Cardinals in it, that's always a challenge to go heads up with the Super Bowl. But this year with the Cardinals there, that had to be a special challenge. So how did you deal with that, and what was the net effect, do you think?
Well, I mean, you can take them one at a time. The economy impacted the corporate sales, but, I mean, it didn't impact the attendance too badly. And I think the weather was the big balancing factor there. And that was just... You know, probably a lucky break. You know, with regard to the Cardinals in particular, we really tried to turn that into a positive and try to catch Cardinal fever and get people mm-hmm. fired up and kind of capture the excitement that the people were feeling and provide them a place to come out and be with Cardinal fans and have a good time. And And that worked out for the most part. I mean, our attendance was down a little bit from last year, but last year we really got a bump off the Super Bowl. The day that it really hit us was Sunday, not surprisingly.
Right, right. So Sunday is a challenge, but every other day seemed okay?
Every other day was great. I mean, we were within a couple percentage points on attendance every other day except Sunday.
And you could not have had any better weather. I mean, we all remember past years when we've had rainy Thursdays, mm-hmm. or, you know, even Saturdays that were kind of cold. And, I mean, could it have possibly been any nicer those 4 days this week?
No. It's been, of my six tournaments, I mean, that's by far the nicest weather that I've seen. And it shows you how important the weather is to the attendance. I mean,
it doesn't hurt, too, when it's warm and, you know, the people who come out aren't always dressed for golf. Because, you know, that happens. I mean, there's a few people who really aren't, you know, they're not wearing pants sometimes. So, it adds to the ambiance.
part of the other problem, I think, was you would have had a little bit better Sunday if there would have been some big names in it, like a Phil could have been competing.
Well, that's another challenge. That's out of your hands. But you're right.
That was tough because those guys that didn't – all those returning previous champs that didn't even make the cut. That was, how do you plan for that?
Well, David, what do you think are you planning – you're the big guy next year. What is it called, the Big Thunderbird? Like,
there's two. I mean, I'm the tournament chairman of the 2010 FBR Open, but the other big guy is our big chief that's sort of the president of the organization.
You see, that's a much better, the big chief, because in Mesa, where I grew up, they have the ho-ho comms, and you're called the big ho. Seriously. And only in Mesa would they not get that and go for decades.
Oh, I thought big chief was bad.
No, I'm serious. They're the big ho, and they're like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Oh, really? Okay.
And then they kept right on using it.
No, they still do, because they still don't get it. There's no hoes in Mesa, at least, you know, not officially, anyway. So next year, what plans have you got?
Well, next year's a huge year for us. It's our 75th anniversary of the tournament. It's the 75th anniversary of the Thunderbirds. In addition, we're actually moving back 3 weeks next year for 1 year only. So we're February 22nd to 28th. So we're not going to be competing with the Super Bowl. We're not going to be competing with the Dubai Open. And most excitingly, possibly, is we follow the World Golf Championship in Tucson. So the week before, mm-hmm. we're going to have 64 of the top players in the world just down the road. So we're hoping to be able to really capitalize on all of that.
Well, I think that's going to be huge. You guys have done a tremendous job in making this into the premier event that it is, and one of the great events in all of golf, especially going up against the Super Bowl. But boy, it just seems a lot easier not to have to do that. So I'm glad that's going to be the case. What about the chance? I know you hear this all the time, but now that it's not in competition with Dubai, is there a chance to get Tiger out here?
Absolutely. We're already counting on his participation. And I'm laughing because, you know, who knows? I mean, he's got a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things. But certainly, if there's a year we're going to get him, it's going to be in 2010 with not competing with the Dubai Open, mm-hmm. And having him. He will play in Tucson. He plays in Tucson every year. So, you know, having him right down the road, we're, again, just going to try to capitalize on that and get those guys to come on up and enjoy the weekend. You know,
that'd be great.
To the extent they're knocked out of the tournament down there before the weekend, come on up, enjoy the weekend. We're going to try to plan some special events and then roll on into our tournament.
Yeah, because it's really not fun. I mean, it's really four of the least fun days that I can recall.
That's the problem. You don't recall.
I don't recall. Yeah, well, you know, you start at 1 on Thursday and roll right through to Sunday morning.
Well, David, we're gonna get your buddy Sean Parsons on now, and he's gonna tell us his experience there with that incident that happened, but also report in on Kerry's behavior. So we appreciate you all your work and all the work that the Thunderbirds do. It's a tremendous tournament, and all of us know what a great thing it is for everybody in the Valley, all the charities in the Valley, and just for the. Making Phoenix what it is. The FBR Open is a big part of what this town's all about. So,
well, thank you for that, and thank you for your guys' support.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That's David Rau, who is going to be the not the big chief.
Big
chief.
Be the tournament director. FBR
chief, you know, by
Open
the way.
Chairman.
I seem to remember the Governor Napolitano. She might not have liked that big chief thing. Because it's like Squaw Peak. It's kind of offensive.
Yeah, we don't call ourselves
Squaws anymore.
Yeah,
we're not worried about
her now. Which, oh, David, ouch.
Ouch. Hey, Sean, I'm listening. Don't screw it up, pal.
Yeah, Jan Brewer, she doesn't give a shit.
She doesn't care. That's right.
Chief, she can say, go back to Squaw. We don't care.
Yeah. No, it's a lot. It is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I joke about it, and it's a lot of fun. But these guys, this is the best group of guys in the Valley. They play very hard. That much is obvious. But these guys pull off the most amazing thing that happens over a week's time ever, and then they turn around and they give millions and millions of dollars to charities in the Valley. So yeah, so hands down, the best group of guys that I know.
And what a economic boost to the Valley. Think of all the blow start things on your car that get moved this week.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Bail bondsman.
That business is booming.
The interlock devices.
Fantastic. Yes.
All the other hose besides the head hose. And
it's good. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
All right.
None of that happens. You've been talking to Rob Harris too much.
Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly. Come on now. All right. Let's see. Have we got Sean on the line? See if we can pop him on there.
Come on.
Hey, Sean.
Rumor has it,
hey, we're doing good. How are you?
Perfect.
Well, we got a couple questions for you. First, on the non-serious, and when I came in here, I was a little worried because I only had a couple hours sleep coming in from the Super Bowl, and I thought everyone's going to be really up and fired up for the show like they usually are, and I'd be kind of the party pooper, and. Then I saw Carrie.
And she's had less sleep than you.
Well, she's had more something than me and less something else. And she seems, I think I'm, my blood alcohol is at about a 0.4 right now, and I've had that's just sitting next to her.
I don't think we have enough blood in her alcohol system.
Yeah, exactly.
We did not have cocktails for this taping. That's all I
no,
rest my case.
No, that's right. That's wow. Right. So what's the story? Did you happen to see her in action anytime this week you could report?
Carrie, she's a blur out there. You just catch just glimpses of her occasionally.
It's true.
But lot of glimpses.
Yeah, a lot of glimpses.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you handle that very diplomatically. Now, this is the weirdest thing that happened out there, and maybe you can, for people who don't know, it's Dr. Sean Parson, and you have. We talked about twins earlier.
Mm.
You've worked on more twins probably than any OBGYN in the Valley,
not
right?
Not an obstetrician.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean is very, very well known for beautifying the world,
yes.
Mostly on the east and northeast side.
But he's a plastic surgeon, but nonetheless, a doctor was called for. And, I mean, the few times I've ever seen an acrobat in action without a net, it was mind-boggling to me that anyone would get up there and do that. So you just assume that, obviously, they're up there. They're not going to fall. They know what they're doing.
Right.
And so, can you describe? Because I don't have a clear picture in my mind what the event was. It sounded like it was a dinner or something. And
well,
this guy's over the top, or what?
Yeah,
what's
we
the
have
deal
a
here?
We have a sponsor's dinner that's a private function that starts the one of our main parties that starts things off on Tuesday and. The person planning that had just really poured his heart and soul into planning and had come up with some really unique concepts, Chad Clark, and had done a phenomenal job, and the party was just beginning, and they had kind of a Cirque du Soleil acrobat troupe from New York. The main lead person with that troupe who had, roughly 15 years experience as an acrobat was, performing things overhead without a net that he'd done. Can't only imagine how many times, and just had a horrific kind of fluke accident, a perfect storm, and fell on his head.
High up was he?
The tent's probably about 40 feet high, but he was probably only 12, 15 feet when he actually fell. So, it'd be like falling from a story up was all.
But he fell on his head?
But got a little disoriented and fell just face first onto the ground, and just a horrible, tragic way to start things.
Oh my God! And so then, what happened?
I think it was just one of those Cirque du Soleil performances. So people right around the area didn't quite know what to make of it. They didn't know if that was just his dismount or what was going on. And then people could tell that he was, pretty seriously injured, and they started calling to see if anyone was in the tent who had some medical experience. There was a police chief who was there who was great and, you know, tried to stabilize his neck and help. And we did CPR, myself and one of the other guys in the group is a physician, Gil Brito. We did CPR for probably 15 minutes or so until we could get EMTs in. And actually, he was still alive when he'd left the tent, but then unfortunately passed away about an hour later.
Wow. That is just...
You can only imagine how many times in 15 years of, you know, if a guy knows how to fall, it would be that guy, you know. And
sure.
I mean, he's, just a horrible kind of freak thing.
Has there been any investigation into that to see if there was something more to it than just that he...
Yeah,
he
the just, police investigated, and you know, fortunately, they were, because it was a performance, they were filming the performance, and... So there was no he said, she said. I mean, you know, we actually had
right.
film that the police were able to look at carefully and make sure that there was no
foul play.
The rigging and everything was fine. He just kind of lost his grip and fell.
And no alcohol or drugs in his system?
No. Fortunately, there was, it was, you know, nothing. He just, you know, the guy had been doing it for 15 years and had a horribly dangerous occupation that unfortunately caught up to him that night.
That is crazy. Well, I'm glad you were there and Scottsdale Police Chief, I guess. To help out. Boy, that is rough. That's something nobody will ever forget. Well, thanks again for all your great work there with the Thunderbirds. We've been bragging on them here, but everybody here is a big fan. Just before you go here, what about? Because you've been involved with the Bird's Nest before, how's that going out there?
You know, I had handled things previous year. This year, actually, Rob, who you're obviously really familiar with,
Rob Harris.
Very familiar.
Rob Harris is one of our executive producers here.
And Darren Wright was in charge of the Bird's Nest that.
And how'd it go? Did they screw that up, or?
You know what? Despite Carrie's best efforts, they did not screw it up. They did a phenomenal job, and it's really evolved. I mean, the Bird's Nest way back when the tournament was out at Phoenix Country Club was actually just on a tennis court.
Right.
And I mean, it's just evolved, you know, from there into something more like a Scottsdale nightclub now, where, you know, we've got it's not like a circus tent. I mean, it's very elegant, and we had. This week, somewhere between 22 to 25,000 people.
Jeez. What's the woman to man ratio?
We try to keep it about 10-1.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And a lot of cougars out there?
It's some cougars, a fair number of jaguars this year.
Oh wow!
Wow! What are they?
What's a jaguar?
It's like a cougar plus 15.
Oh,
wow.
That's rough.
How many of them have you worked on?
it's probably about a 10-1 ratio again.
So that's a cougar with a walker? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Can you make a jaguar into a cougar? You can do
it. With a lot of hard work and determination, yeah.
You can do it.
He'll assemble a team and get it done for you.
Fantastic.
Obviously, OAR was there Thursday night, and that's a band that, I mean, brings a crowd with it. Was that the high point, you think?
You know, OAR is a band that's got a tremendous college following. They're able to sell out consecutive nights at Madison Square Garden. They were there on Thursday night. Duck Soup, who's been, when the tournament came out and we started having the Bird's Nest out at TPC, Duck Soup was the first band who played for us, and they have continued to be there. Zoe Bowie, who was a local band that came back from Las Vegas, started things off, and then we had some great local talent as well. Metalhead and Boogie Nights came out and played. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, hats off to Darren and Rob because they did a tremendous job, and a lot of money is raised for charity. I think that's one of the things that makes our tournament unique. When we have guys come out from some of these different golf tournaments, they're just blown away by the fact that we do our thing and had, you know, 470-some-odd thousand people during the day, and then we keep it going and have another 10,000 or so that stay out at night and continue to raise money.
That's awesome. Well, good job. We appreciate it, and I appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you guys having Carrie, and I'm glad you're still awake and talking.
She's trying.
I need like 3 days. Betty called while I was out. She said,
It's not for you. May not see her for a while.
Oh, my.
All right, Dr. Sean Parson, Thunderbird, appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, guys.
All right, okay. You guys ready for, let's just go right, before we finish on sports here, we did have one Super Bowl incident that, and of course it was in Arizona, in the whole country, it has to be here.
Oh, okay.
Mark mentioned it, so you ready? Ready for this week's Woody?
Yes.
By the way, we got a lot of response to little Adolf Hitler last week. People are not big fans of that,
no.
Those parents. Pretty much unanimous that that's bordering
not
on child abuse.
Year, yeah.
Yes. No. Okay, this week's Woody goes to television station KVOA in Tucson. Apparently viewers watching the Super Bowl Sunday on KVOA in Tucson through Comcast got a real surprise. Just as Larry Fitzgerald scored on a 60-yard touchdown pass in the second half, the picture mysteriously switched to 10 seconds of hardcore porn.
No.
Yes. Now, that... I had personally been waiting all game long for Larry to go deep, but not this way. Now, I had huge respect already for Fitz. You know, he's my favorite. He'd scored twice in a row, but this was putting a whole new twist on things. Remember when Larry jumped up and took the ball out of the defender's hands? We don't want to see the X-rated version of that. No,
God.
That's not good. Station manager Gary Nielsen assured a thorough investigation so that his viewers would get answers. They already got answers, though. Why is Roethlisberger called Big Ben? Well, they know in Tucson. Why do we have so many holding calls? Who really is the best wide receiver, at least the whitest? Janet Jackson flopping one out has nothing on our guys in Tucson for showing the tightest tight end in the game. KVOA Tucson gets a 10-second Woody.
You know, and also we should point out, if you go to grantwoods.com, you can see the actual video.
Yes, you're right.
Yes.
Hardcore?
Yes, tune in.
Well, there's a little over the strategic part, if you will.
There's about a 6-inch part blacked out.
Yeah, during the this year's Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction. But, it was...
It's sleazy, too, though. It's
wow.
It was longer than 10 seconds. I kid you not, because... It starts out, you know, Warner hits
Fitzgerald.
You just
kept rewinding it.
Yes.
No, I just saw it for the first time this afternoon.
Whatever.
10 seconds is 5 minutes, at least in my book.
True. But
guys always claim it.
Carrie, guys always claim it.
It's at least 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Foreplay counts.
That was the longest 10 seconds.
Foreplay counts. They always claim it's longer than it really was.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was just right at the point.
But the people were sleazy in it.
They were sleazy. And it was right at the point the game was reaching its climax, too. So.
Yes. Well, that was about the only thing.
You can use that one, Mark, if you need it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, George.
You're here all week.
The only thing that would have made it more appropriate.
Is this on? Seriously.
No, the only thing that would have made it more appropriate if the cable system had been Cox. You know, it's.
Oh. That's true.
Speechless.
Me too. Let's move
on.
This
is an
okay. We have to finish up on sports with the Suns before we. I'm going to tell you about a big scam coming up.
This will last about 10 seconds.
And
we have
the Suns and
Mike D'Antoni, come back, please.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So anyway, you know, while I was not out at the parties and alone shivering in the room by myself. On Saturday night, I was watching the Bulls game.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because it was on WGN or something. And that was miserable. I mean, absolutely miserable. And so apparently after the game, they had all these meetings. And does anyone disagree with me? Now, a lot of my buddies know I'm a big fan in the past of Amari. Mm-hmm. And I've defended Amari from the beginning because I think he's just an absolutely unbelievable talent. But I would say, if I was in charge, and I would like to be in charge, by the way, I would say two people need to go for sure. I'm gonna say several people. The owner has always been a problem, but we'll skip him. Kerr needs to go. Porter needs to go. And I'm gonna have to say now's the time to trade Amari. Anyone opposed to trading Amari now? Because he made the All-Star team. His contract's running out anyway. This team is not functioning. So I definitely think we got to get rid of Porter, and I would trade Amari right now. And I'm sorry to say that because I have been a big defender of his.
This team has real problems right now. They need to make some serious changes.
Well, that's the one to make, I think.
I keep thinking he's going to learn how to play defense and rebound or even care to.
That's the problem. He took 7 shots the other night.
It just looks like he's just walking through the...
Think about that. The starting forward for the All-Star game took 7 shots.
Now, is that his fault, or they're not getting him the ball?
That's his fault. I mean, come on. I take 7 shots at lunchtime hoop
you
in a game to 11.
You take 7 shots in 10 seconds.
Carrie took...
We go to 11.
I've seen that
She took 10 shots on the 16th hole.
It's got like...
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
But you know what? He ought to be getting seven offensive rebounds a game and putting them back up.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
The guy's such a stud.
No D, no nothing. I think he's cashed it in. And as far as our general manager, he was questionable to begin with, and some of his trades have been questionable. By the way, Boris Diaw is absolutely destroying people.
Killed us.
Unbelievable.
Always
killed us.
Him. Always liked
but
him.
He's killing everybody. But and I'm a big Jay Rich fan, but he looks lost out there. They're doing nothing for him. Now, maybe it's his fault. I don't know, because I don't know what's going on there. But I don't even know why we got him if this is what we're going to do. You know, just have him stand around and hope he gets the ball and fling up a three.
This pounding the ball into Shaq, when they do that, it's mm-hmm. four other guys standing around.
Yeah, I know. It's a mess. Now, Shaq,
he's
think
playing great.
Shaq has played out of his mind. I think he's played fantastically. We got to get a new coach, and eventually we need a new GM. And
they just
don't
look like they're having fun.
Seem to know what he's doing either. So.
And there's no interest in the team right now. I mean, no. The Cardinals obviously sucked up a lot of interest. But before, I mean, you're native Arizona.
Yeah.
You know as well as I
how
do.
Can
the,
there be?
The Suns were the focal
Suns
point of the Valley forever.
Yep.
And even when the other teams
absolutely.
Came, the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks, the Suns still occupied everybody's time. Nobody's talking about them except to say they suck.
Right. And the last time we had a big dip is when we had, speaking of big dips, we had Jason Kidd and, you know, that crowd, yeah. Stephen Marbury and that. That's when the interest in the Suns went down. But other than them, we kind of had a dog team, and they're not the, you know, they got their own issues. Although, Juwanna Kidd, she took his fry. I mean, you know, don't take my fries.
Knock you into next
yeah,
week.
Don't take my fries.
Is that what happened? Was that the?
Yeah,
oh,
she
yeah.
took his fries.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
because
all this time I've knocked the guy.
Yeah,
well, no,
small.
You can't knock him for that.
But you can't. You can't be taking
he
no.
He would have ordered her fries, but
right.
she didn't want any. Now, once that happens, don't take my fries.
Then, no. then
well, that's the way I look at it.
Back
so,
off, woman.
But, okay, so that's what's going on. That's it. Remember that guy I told you about last week?
Oh, wow.
It wouldn't mean nothing to me, Dad.
That's right.
To hit no woman.
It'd be the first time I hit
I beat up a, woman. I don't care. But this isn't the case now that we've got an all-star team out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
My God. Grant Hill, seven-time all-star. Steve Nash, you know, going to be a Hall of Famer. O'Neal, a Hall of Famer. Jay Rich. Slam dunk champion, 3-point champion. I mean, go right down the line. We got a great team, and they struggle against everybody now. And we're playing crummy teams.
Barbosa played great the other night. And other than that, it was ugly.
Hopefully, we're sending the word out there. Time for big changes here.
Yeah, I was going to say,
the problem is we've got to start at the top.
How bad is it right now that they're playing this poorly with the NBA All Star Game being here in Phoenix? You would want the Suns to be up there, you know, challenging for the.
Do you remember that? That's what it looked like because we're saying we have a chance here to win like 8 in a row. We're playing all dog teams.
Sure.
And now we're almost losing every game, so that's not going to happen.
When does spring training start?
Pitchers and catchers,
soon.
2 weeks.
Speaking of
Valentine's Day, baby.
One more sports story.
No. Speaking of NBA All Star Game coming here.
Yes.
Is Pac-Man coming to town to make it rain?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
Hope not. Check the
keep
dirty.
Your wives and children off the streets. Pac-Man's coming.
Check the dirty. That's right. I don't know how that's going to go over this whole All Star Game. You're a veteran of All Star. We keep looking at Kerry. Any big party event. So how will the All-Star Game be here?
All-Star Game's a good show. I've been to them out of town, and I've been to them here. Been to the one here. NBA does, you know, they bring rock stars. They if they have a concert, it's
big time.
Big deal.
It's not like the Republican convention where we get Lee Greenwood and nobody else.
A little more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But by the way, speaking of your Republican Party there, and I would be ashamed to be a Republican right now the way that party is, but that's another thing.
Yeah.
Michael Steele, the new GOP chairman, saying there's nothing wrong with the party right now. Dude, what planet are you on? Have you watched the last two election cycles? Yes, there is something wrong with your party.
There's definitely something wrong with it.
Well, don't get me talking about Daschle and Geithner and all those plans, too.
Not
those,
paying their taxes.
Nobody, but I mean,
what's that all about?
The Republicans are trying
to. But only 120,000.
Whatever.
I got a question for you. How do you have the one guy in charge of the IRS and he doesn't pay his taxes?
Yeah.
That's like if you brought the Surgeon General in and he had a big herpes sore hanging off his lip.
He's smoking.
Big gut. You know, IV, needle hanging out of his vein.
He's smoking a cig,
Wouldn't you go, hey, that's probably not the right guy?
That was the problem as far as Geithner, because the job he was taking. The problem with Daschle is to owe that much That's a lot of money to owe. That's a bigger problem. That's a rough one there.
Yeah, Geithner at least, you know, because he was working with the IMF and it's the self-employed thing. It's like,
but he's the smartest guy in the room, and he said TurboTax did it.
Well,
that's what he said.
That's the reason we need to change the tax laws.
Exactly.
I mean, I go to an accountant, I give him the information. I'm assuming it's all done right,
right.
But if they were to do an audit and say, no,
thank
this is
wrong,
it's like, I don't know, I went to a
professional. That's what happened to Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
I mean, he fill out his own?
Tax return.
No, he had a whole slew of accountants. They said, this is the way we're going to do it. And he's like, okay, can we do that? Absolutely, you can do that. He does it, and next thing you know, you're in huge trouble.
Yeah.
Does Michael Phelps know Willie Nelson?
Next thing you know,
what about Michael Phelps?
Next thing you know, Willie's doing Taco Bell commercials. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Willie's the greatest.
By the way, I got a quick Willie story. This probably won't make the air.
Okay.
But I just got an email that said Willie Nelson, in his perfect words of wisdom, said, "I've outlived my dick." Now, it doesn't get any better than that, does
no,
it?
No, he's all the man.
Time to get on the road again.
That's a horrible visual.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
What's going to happen to all the girls he loved before?
No, that was
back.
Before. No, no. There's,
they're dead.
There are things you can do for that, apparently. Now, if you just watch television every 5 minutes, you can see
Viva
the two people in the tubs.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, Viva Viagra. Talk about ruining that song.
The
Not
worst
that
ever.
It was any good anyway.
The worst
but
ever.
Still.
You know, if we still had Sean Parson on the line, he could fill you in on a couple of efforts that have been made in that area.
On what area?
People trying to fix their stuff.
Oh, we don't want to hear that.
That's good.
Honestly,
a permanent Woody?
Hear that. Awkward.
The permanent Woody.
Permanent.
Yes. No, no. Yeah. After 4 hours, no. That's the least of my problems. Okay, now. I want to tell you about something here, because we are going to talk, we're going to have the big shot, know-it-all, Jay Glazer from Fox Sports.
He's great.
Yeah, he's going to be fantastic. We got to ask him about all this stuff. We'll ask him about Phelps, too. But I want to tell you about a big ripoff out there that we've discovered. And, you know, since once upon a time I was the Attorney General, and we did a little bit of that.
Call
remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, way back when.
Foggy.
Okay, here's what's going on here. And there's a lawsuit. Involved in this, and hopefully the government will just give in on this thing. But it doesn't sound like a big deal, but when I give you some of these numbers, I think it's amazing to me. Do you remember when we changed the rules here in the United States a few years ago, 2004, I think it was, and now all of a sudden you're going to start, at some point in time, they said you're going to need a passport for everything,
mm-hmm.
to go to Canada, to go to Mexico. We're going to be all passports for security reasons, supposedly. And then, of course, they said, oh, well, we're not really equipped for all this volume that we're getting. That's rough. We need more people, et cetera, et cetera. But, and so they're worried that the deadline's coming up and people aren't being able to be processed. So they say, okay, if you pay $60, you can have it expedited. It's right there. So you pay your money and you pay an extra $60 and you're going to get it supposedly within 3 days. Okay, that was the deal. That's what you paid your $60 for. Okay, here's the numbers, basically, here. 2004 to 2008, just under 6 million people, 5,998,569 Americans paid $60 for expedited service, didn't get it. Basically got their passport in regular time. Didn't get their $60 back. Of those, 36,943 got their $60 back. They forgot to refund $5,900.
It's like a stimulus package.
60. I mean, unbelievable. They just took the $60 from everybody and said, "Oh, okay, sorry about that." You know, and they don't really have much of an excuse about this. And now here's the other news: they're still doing it, and they still can't expedite. Now, I'm not saying they can't, because I think it's like 1 in 3 or something like that. Maybe 2 out of 3 get expedited, but the 1 in 3 don't. But look at the numbers. 6 million people pay $60, which works out to $358 million for 4 years that they've just pocketed out of people's pockets. So the idea in this lawsuit is, hey, give them their money back,
right,
plus interest, and stop doing this. If you can't do it, stop saying we're going to take your $60. Now, there's a guy, and they deposed this guy. He's the managing director for passport services at the State Department. And he says, well, we knew the government would be unable to process a lot of those expedited requests, but we thought we'd try and to see how it worked.
Well, it's good to see Brownie getting a job again.
Unbelievable. So now this is basically under the Bush administration.
Yep.
So now we have a new administration. And Chuck Schumer's onto this. He says, you know, you ought to give the money back. Everybody who's looked at it, I think, says give the money back. But they're fighting the lawsuit right now.
Has Secretary Clinton weighed in on it yet?
No, not yet. So let's see what happens here. This is supposed to be a new day. We're going to have a more efficient government.
Right.
But anyway, we will stay on top of that, see how it goes. And that's a lawsuit filed out of California. But that's a good lawsuit. If I was the Attorney General, I would file that lawsuit.
If Domino's can figure out how to get your money back if you don't get it on time, surely our passport.
It's real easy. Yeah. You know, here's the thing. You see when the application came in with the $60. Did it have 3 days gone by? Oh, it's been a month. Give them their $60 back.
Easy.
Maybe they were too busy snooping through passports of people to process them. Because remember, that was the big scandal, about a year or so ago when Hillary Clinton's had been violated, Barack Obama's, John McCain's.
Right.
And, you know, then they came out, all these celebrities, basketball players.
Right.
And
that's weak.
Yeah.
No, I hate that. It's unbelievable. It's yet another of the thousands of steps we've gone on in the last decade to invasion of the rights and privacy of private citizens in this country, which is another reason why I think they ought to get rid of all the cameras that are out there at intersections, on freeways, and all that. I know it's a big revenue maker, but this, now that it's been revealed that the cameras are rolling 24/7, not good. I mean, what happened in this country? I thought we used to be a country that believed in individual rights and privacy, not big government. Mm-hmm. And people are just laying down. They're like, there might be a crime. You know, and then you could go and you could see if that guy was actually there. OJ, we could have seen if he was. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So we're going to put cameras up everywhere?
I was actually appalled when the story came out in the state legislature a couple of weeks ago when they revealed, and lawmakers learned for the first time, that those cameras are rolling 24/7. They're keeping a database. There was a story that came out today. I don't know if you saw it or not, but they're starting to use some preliminary information on how likely it is and when it is that you're likely to get a speeding ticket. You know, at certain times of the day, like around 11 o'clock or something.
Oh, no,
like
I didn't
that.
See that. Why?
Yeah, it's just, well, I would assume because of 11 o'clock, it's much more easier to speed at that time than it is at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, 5 or 6 in the afternoon.
Hour.
But there was one, I think it was out on the Loop 101 over on the west side, where they had how many tickets were given out. This hour is like a top hour for it, this type of thing. But, yeah, so they obviously are compiling data on that.
Well, sure they are.
You know, you already have sensors in the pavement. You know how many cars are going over it.
What?
Yeah.
Sensors in the pavement.
And little people in the pavement that clickers.
Yeah. He's flipping out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm with you. It's like it's 1984.
It is.
It really
is. But what bugs me is that people just accept it, you know. It's, not that big a deal. Well, it's not that big a deal if that was the only thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, now they can listen in on phone calls in certain circumstances. They can check your emails in certain circumstances. You give all these things away, and then you turn around, and there we are, where we never wanted to be.
But, you know, my thing on that is they say, okay, well, we could have seen O.J. leaving the Brentwood Estate. You know what? Great, you would have seen him. You wouldn't have been able to stop him. You know, if you see somebody committing a crime on that video, what are you going to go back
him.
3 weeks later? You know what? I think we...
You could convict him is their point. But
that's all right. He got his.
Then why don't we... Yeah, he did. Thank God.
Kind of funny, huh?
But, you know, you don't put up cameras everywhere in the hopes that you might get some evidence of a crime someday. I mean,
don't put them out at the FBI.
Preposterous.
Thank God.
And by the way, you see another... It's controversial. I mean, everyone, you see what people's opinions are, but you see the Supreme Court now is looking at in another area of protecting your privacy and protecting you from the police conducting illegal searches. The Supreme Court appears to be ready, although we'll see if they get the right case before they get a new justice replacing someone who wouldn't be for this. But the whole exclusionary rule, which says if the police take a piece of evidence illegally, it's not allowed, is with this court about done.
Yeah.
They're about to say that if it's taken in good faith, and basically that the evidence can come in. And I'm not totally opposed to that. I'm just saying you put all these things together, and you've really strengthened the hand of government.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there's a videotape out right now. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I was watching it on CNN today. There was a fight on a Washington, D.C. street. A guy.
No.
News.
Yeah. No, this guy punches guy, falls back, lands on the ground, he gets up. So he's okay after the first hit. A second guy comes in this little group, punches the guy. The guy falls backwards, hits the bumper or the back rear quarter panel of a car, whatever he hit, but he'd hit there, fell to the ground, didn't get up. He's unconscious. He's out. He dies shortly thereafter. The amazing thing, and Rick Sanchez on CNN pointed this out, they fast-forwarded the video. That car that he hit on left at some point, and he was moved back onto the sidewalk. People walked by for 20 minutes with this guy dying on the sidewalk, didn't do anything about it.
That I don't understand. That happens occasionally, you know. That Rick Sanchez is extremely annoying, by the way.
You know, I kind of like Rick. He's a Twitter freak, I know
jackass.
That.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, they put him in prime time. That didn't work. I'm supposed to like him. He's Cuban, okay, but...
Sorry about that. He's the best, real problem.
That's the best thing about him.
Dirty Sanchez.
Dirty Sanchez, yeah.
He's got a style. It takes some getting used to.
No, but he's trying to act like he's Mr. Technology now. You know, oh, you can get me on, read my Twitter, you can see me on Facebook, look at my MySpace, ooh. And now they read emails on not only his show, but lots of shows.
I hate that.
They read emails. Now, here's the thing. We may read emails, you know, once we're going full speed here, but we're going to read the best
good ones.
One or two emails for the week. This is Joe Schlump from Apache Junction said, I don't like that Barack Obama's ear sticking out. Oh, Joe Schlump from Apache Junction. I mean, we don't want to hear from those people. Horrible. We don't care. It's not cool. The idea that people are going to continue watching television and not continue to flee to the computer because Rick Sanchez is reading emails or Twittering. Here I am sitting here. It's a commercial break. That's not interesting. These guys just do not get it.
We need to pull the Dennis Hopper line out from the movie Speed where he goes, it's interactive television, Jack. It's the wave of the future. And this is.
That is not the wave of the future.
So
they
boring.
Don't get it. That is, isn't it?
So boring.
Yes. Oh, unbelievable.
But,
oh.
You know, how many people like voting for the most valuable player of a game online or voting, you know, this? It is the wave of the future.
No. Text dumb shit to 78514.
I would do that, but I have a life.
But here's one of the reasons why it's the wave of the future.
No, it's not. I promise you, that is not the wave of the future.
If somebody is Twittering.
Wait, here's the reason why it is.
Twitter.
If somebody Twitters or does the Facebook message or something like that, you know what? They stick through the program to see if their message makes it. You have a captive audience that way.
For the next 6 months, maybe Rick will keep some audience members.
But
the rest of us will be doing something else.
Joe Schlump is out smoking.
Yeah,
he's not
exactly.
watching anymore.
You sent letters to the editor. How many times have you looked at the newspaper to see if it got printed?
I have never sent a letter to the editor.
Someone, no, but you've done like op-ed pieces. And
if it's in there, fine. But
Grant likes immediate gratification.
Yes,
like,
I do.
Like prank phone calls. Where he can hear himself on the air. There's no delay.
That's true. That's much better.
Yeah,
that's true. I haven't done that in a while.
We need to do that.
The night is young.
Who should we prank? How about Gatos on KTAR?
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, it would be good.
That would be good.
And his buddy, whoever that guy is.
Mac.
Mac Watson.
Mac Watson.
Yeah, we should do that. That'd be fun.
That'd be good.
Okay, let's plan that out.
Right.
Okay, I do want to say here before we get our Fox Sports guy on that Steve took a little shot at the Republicans there. I don't know if you caught that.
Oh, I caught it.
He didn't like Michael Steele, you know. No,
I wish him the best. But
you don't really.
No, I would like to see an active two-party system. The Republican Party has got to change.
Okay, now we agree on that. But let's go.
Sarah Palin is not the future of the party. I hate to tell you.
Well,
think it is, you're going to be in the minority for a long time to come.
That may happen to the Republicans because she may be. But I do think on the stimulus package. Let's talk about that for just a couple minutes here. I'm disappointed that Obama has not been able to rein in the congressional Democrats thus far, because not only do I philosophically disagree with the bulk of the package, but clearly this is a classic Democrat bill, which is let's feed all of our special interests here, let's figure out we've been out in the wandering in the desert here for a long time. It's our turn now, and we're going to throw in this and throw in that. And I don't like it. I think these are serious times, and the president is a serious person. This is not good. This package, now we're up to, you know, $900 billion. It's a staggering amount. It's a staggering debt that we're passing on, and most of it, or a good portion of it, is not going to have anything to do with stimulating the economy, I don't think. So the criticism now, and we talked about this every week now. I want people to get behind the president, and I'm behind the president. But this idea that the Republicans cannot make this bill better, I totally reject. And John McCain today was out there. Other people are out there saying, you know, they need to sit down and negotiate with Republicans. Now, if it's just going to come down, as it did in the House, to ideology, which it may, that's fine, then the president's side's going to win. But I would think there's room here for both sides to make this bill better. For example, I like some of the ideas that are going out there. This idea, which I'm sure it won't ever happen, but let's have a moratorium on capital gains tax for two years. Mm. To me, that will stimulate the economy. Most of this let's take payroll tax down to X. Let's take there's all sorts of things we can do to work on the private sector side. The problem with the stimulus package as it is, in my view, is one, it's all government programs and very little on the tax reduction side. The tax reduction side also, and Obama got by with this in the campaign, but now I think he's being exposed on this. A good portion of it is a tax cut, so-called, to people who don't pay taxes, which is also called a welfare check. That's not a tax cut, in my view, and I think in most people's views. If I don't pay taxes, and now all of a sudden I'm getting a check, that's a welfare check, and it's just another name for it. Tax cut sounds great. Hey, everybody's getting a tax cut, except for the rich guys who make over $200,000, who happen to supply most of the jobs in this country, and we want jobs, I thought, but we're going to give a tax cut to this guy who doesn't make 5 cents, because he'll spend it immediately. I don't buy any of that. So I guess my point is, if it's going to have to come down to just ideology, we want big government programs, we're not interested in the private sector for the most part, okay, then Democrats won, Republicans lost, that's the way it's going to be. But I would think you could get together and make this bill better. And I do think people like John McCain want to do that. Thus far, the Republicans have been shut out. I think that's pretty clear, and I think that's unfortunate.
Well, yesterday in the interview with Matt Lauer on NBC, President Obama was talking about that, and he said, you know, there are some good Republican ideas, and I want them included in the package. He's trying to find a way to get them to work in it. He invited a lot of the Republicans over to the White House to watch the Super Bowl. He has reached out.
He's reached out, but there's no... I agree that he's reached out, but it's...
He's done a lot more than George Bush ever did.
Well, we can't compare to Bush. That was a disaster. But that style over substance, unless we have some of these Republican ideas in the package. I don't care if a guy invites me over to his house for the Super Bowl and, you know, talks with me and then doesn't listen to one thing I have to say substantively. And I don't see any evidence of that thus far. Now, I understand if he's just flat out, or if the Democrats, I think it's more the Democratic leadership, frankly, in the Congress than it is the president. But if he's just flat out opposed to some of these things philosophically, fine. That's his right. He won. But I don't see any evidence that he's really given serious consideration. Why not a serious discussion on capital gains?
Because there are no capital gains right now. Everybody's lost everything.
Well, there will be.
There will. Maybe.
You want to spur investment? You want people to get out there and start spending money?
Yeah, if you told people capital gains is going to go away, you'd see investment. And don't we all agree that the tax code is screwed up when Charlie Rangel, Tim Geithner, and Daschle can't figure it out?
Right. The guys are in
charge. I can't figure it out, and I don't make anywhere close to what those guys make.
And by the way, how come Rangel and Geithner didn't pay penalties? I mean, I don't get that
person. I don't get that
either.
I thought
Geithner did pay
penalties. They should pay penalties.
No,
they should pay penalties.
No, he said he's going to pay the 43 or whatever.
No, that didn't work.
I mean, so how do I, you know, I had a screw-up one time, and I owed like $1,800, and I had a penalty on top of that.
Of course.
So if I have a penalty on $1,800, shouldn't they have them on $120,000?
Of course they should. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or else, how can
penalty
you,
and interest?
How can you say that it's not skewed toward the top guys if they're not paying penalties and interest?
You just gave me an idea on how for the government to get a lot of money, and it's done from time to time in places. Do a tax amnesty thing. If you owe back taxes, just pay us what you owe, and we'll clear the deck. How much money could the government get in?
Might get something, although I don't know. They might get something. But I think more than that, if you say, it's this ridiculous situation we have with the inheritance tax now, where it's expiring for a year, and then it's going to go back to where it was. So they will fix that. But we did have that on the books. If you said right now you've got 2 years, this isn't a permanent thing. We need to have a capital gains tax. It makes sense. But we also need to have people out there investing, creating jobs. For the next 2 years only, there will be no capital gains tax. People will start investing.
The market would go crazy.
It'll go crazy for and that's what we need. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to the government programs and government spending. I am for them when we're talking about what we were talking about, which was infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to the states. Make sure it goes to. We have a ridiculous situation in this country with our power grid. Although, you know, that's going to cost more than anyone's ever even talking about now. But certainly bridges and roads and all that. You know, hearkening back to the, you know, the last depression, that makes sense to me. Now is the time to do that. But that's really not what this bill is about. It's being sold that way, but that's really not what it's about. I don't think this is going to work, and so I don't know. I just feel like the president could get this done if he really wants to get it done. But he's going to have to knock some heads there, and the heads he's got to knock are going to have to be Pelosi's and Reid's.
Yeah, I think he will get it done. And, you know, keep in mind, this is kind of a preliminary. This is kind of like the preseason almost in this. We don't know what the final version is going to look like.
No, but we're getting closer.
But time is of the essence.
Yeah, no, time's of the essence, there. And we're getting closer here. The House passed theirs. The Senate is getting ready. And, you know, it's going to be gone pretty soon, so I don't know. So we'll hope for the best. If we get some sort of big monstrosity, in my point of view, then I guess I'll just have to hope it works. I'd hate have to pay all the money and suffer all of that and then have it not work. But I don't feel good about it. And these are some of the people that are squawking the loudest on the Republican side are not people I'm real thrilled about. I've never been a Mitch McConnell fan, for example. But having said that, you know, what's right is right.
Every time I see him, it looks like he's suffering from hemorrhoids. He's got that look on his face.
What does that look like?
You know,
prune face.
Well, no, I mean, the Republicans need to get new leadership.
Michael Steele. You didn't like him.
No, I didn't say I didn't like him. I just said he's kind of out of touch if you said there's nothing wrong with the Republican Party.
Well.
But the Republicans need to start looking to guys like Schwarzenegger.
Absolutely.
That's a guy you really got to like.
Absolutely. Bobby Jindal is the man.
Yeah,
Bobby
you're right. Another one.
I don't think he's got it.
Look what he did to Louisiana.
He's got it. Mm. You're not ever going to be a Republican. So
I've been a Republican. You know,
you have been a Republican?
I've been registered as Republican. I've been registered as Democrat.
Did
I don't
you ever
like either
vote
one.
For a Republican?
Huh?
Did you vote for a Republican?
You.
Okay, that's one.
I voted for Ronald
that
Reagan.
That was good.
Really?
Did you see how quick that was?
That was good. He was quick on that.
Twice.
Dude, that was awesome.
I saw another Republican outcast at the Super Bowl. He said, same row as me down the way there, Neil Giuliano, former mayor.
Yeah, we traded emails.
Former mayor of Tempe was there, and
he's leaving GLAD.
Yep, leaving GLAD. He said, "I can no longer be a professional gay."
Yep.
So that was interesting.
Happy to be leaving.
He's going to join you on the show at some point.
That would be great. Yeah,
he's not a profession.
Well, that's what he thought.
He's done a great job with that organization. I worked.
He's done great, and he's going to be. He's going to write his memoirs. And I think that's interesting. Yeah. I mean,
he's led an interesting life.
Is he the first openly gay Republican mayor?
I think
emphasis he on openly.
Yeah, he was the. For a while, he was the openly gay mayor of the largest city in the country in Tempe. And now, obviously, that's been surpassed.
But that wouldn't all fit on a business card.
No, you have to come up with something catchier than
the largest openly gay.
But he hobnobs with some of the biggest and best names in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like I was at the GLAD Awards not this year but last year, and it's like people like Ben Affleck are there, mm-hmm. and all these other people. And it's like, okay, you know, the Mark Cherry. You know, I know he's been he's hung out with the cast of Desperate Housewives.
Who is that
like.
Last guy you said?
Mark Cherry. He's the one that runs Desperate Housewives. He's actually a pretty big name in Hollywood. But they're
he's I'm, glad too.
I met Martina Navratilova over there. She
very
was
glad.
There.
What was she doing there?
She was there. But there are actually some. Stephen Colbert did a great bit. He got an award. And
he's
did,
not
and,
glad, is he? He's married.
He's also happy too. No, he got he got an award, but he did this great thank you video.
Oh yeah,
that is just hilarious. And
he's very funny.
Hopefully, it's
what about Ryan Seacrest? Was he there?
Didn't see Ryan Seacrest. I did run into Doogie Howser though.
Oh yeah,
very glad.
Little Doogie. That was shocking.
But
was the GoDaddy ad? We didn't get to see the ads. How was that ad with Danica Patrick getting in the shower?
It was alright. I haven't watched the conclusion of it. You got to go to the website to watch the conclusion.
What is the conclusion? Do we know? Does she what? She gets in the shower.
She's glad.
I think my favorite Super Bowl ad was the Daisy the horse.
I obviously didn't see one ad. Were you asleep during the whole thing?
You were still
passed out.
I had so much fun. I don't remember the commercials.
That is pathetic.
Budweiser, Budweiser had a good one with Daisy the Horse, the circus horse, and the Clydesdale.
Runs away with.
Did you like that one, Mark?
Yeah, it was cute. Yeah. It was very cute.
What was it?
It was a cute one. Daisy the horse is, you know, kind of
the
making out with
the dancing horse.
Yeah, the dancing horse was making out with the Clydesdale and the owner of Daisy. So they, you know, stop this. And the Clydesdale, and they're playing Ain't No Mountain High Enough. And the Clydesdale goes, like, jumps mountains and all this other stuff to find Daisy at the circus, and they run away together.
Those guys know their stuff. I mean, they always do.
Well, and then they had the one, too, where the Budweiser, the truck driver, you know, wagon driver, like, threw a stick for a little dog, a Dalmatian. Dalmatian goes and retrieves it. And then the Clydesdale goes and gets this huge limb to get his treat. That was pretty good.
So Anheuser-Busch did well. GoDaddy, what do you say about GoDaddy? Maybe yes, maybe no.
Yeah, it was sort of so-so. Doritos had a couple of interesting ones.
What was the worst one?
Vizio. Yeah. TVs. It was just a graphic that just said, if you're watching this, you should be able to. Yeah. Just totals. You know,
Bud Light also had a pretty good one with Conan O'Brien, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Conan's agent, he doesn't want to do a commercial right in the meeting at the restaurant.
Sweden.
Hey, you got to do it. Trust. It's only going to be seen in Sweden. Nobody's going to say it. Then he's wearing this thing like the village people would have worn or something like that. He's going, Bud Light, you know, it's like.
Lederhosen.
Nice.
And then it starts airing and he goes to Times Square and it's like, hey, come.
Yeah. What about the Mean Joe Green one for Coke?
That
was pretty good.
I didn't like it. The Mean Joe Green one is classic. Leave it alone.
Yeah, I know. Enough of that. But, you know, I've got a... actually, Steve brought this along. He said he's such a great in-the-house guest. The 50 greatest network announcers. And let's look at this and see if you agree. Okay. Guess who's number one?
I know the list. I've seen
it. No, not you.
Oh, okay.
See if you could name anyone in the top 10.
Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell, number one.
Wow.
Don't know that I'd put him there, but...
John Madden, number two.
Hell no.
Howard Cosell, number one?
Howard Cosell changed sports.
And whatever.
You've got to read
the greatest.
Howard Cosell is legendary.
Not the greatest. Legendary? Hitler.
Worst toupee.
Yeah, exactly. I will say Howard Cosell with Ali.
That was part of it.
Those are the greatest. Yeah. I mean, when he would yell at Howard and try to snatch the wig off his head and everything.
But Howard changed sports from just the play-by-play guy to journalism and brought it down to the
media. Okay, let me tell you on this list here. I'll just say Cosell, one. John Madden, two. Brent Musburger, three. Al Michaels, four.
Do you believe in miracles?
ASU. Yes. Go Devils. Yeah. Dick Enberg, five.
Oh, my.
Knock it
That's
off.
His catchphrase.
Number six, Kurt Gowdy.
Great broadcaster.
Seven, Keith Jackson.
Whoa, Nelly. I love Keith Jackson.
Eight, Bob Costas. Someone punch him over there. Bob Costas.
I like Bob.
Number nine, Jim McKay.
He's great. His coverage of the Munich Olympics.
Number 10, Pat Summerall. Okay? There's your top 10. Now, here's what I'm telling you right now. I think that if you stay too long at the fair, you move down the list. And so some of these guys...
Should have left the fair.
Yeah, okay. And let's start with Howard Cosell. At the end of his career, the guy was Looney Tunes on there. He's moving down. Okay. Madden, fine. Musburger, fine. Michaels, Dickenberg, sure.
Who did this list?
Steve.
The guy is on there at the second page there.
Oh, David Halberstam.
Oh, okay.
Very famous guy.
Not the same author. Different one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
David is dead.
He's right here, number 28.
Great, but dead.
Okay, another one. Number 10, Pat Summerall. Nope, going down. Not good.
I still like Pat today. He called the Cotton Bowl.
Are you
this
insane?
Year.
You can't understand the guy. He sounds drunk. By the way, one of my favorite guys is Lindsey Nelson. Is he on here? There he is. Number 40. He's moving up. Lindsey's got to move way up.
By the way, can I tell you something about the Cardinals? This is how you can tell they've come up a lot. And for years, I've maintained if you want to know how good your team is, the networks know who the good teams are, and they assign the good announcers to good teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you think?
Years ago, I was watching the Steelers play the Patriots a couple years ago, and John Madden and Pat Summerall were calling the game.
Right.
I click over the Cardinal game. The announcers were Lou Ferrigno and Gary Coleman.
Stop it.
It was like, what, then, then? What you talking about, Lou?
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Yeah,
that's how you knew. Or whenever you'd see, like, J.C. Pearson.
What?
And Beasley Reese. And you just go, what?
Yeah. Beasley Reese. Great name, though.
I know, but that's who the Cardinals.
No, the you know who? What is that guy's name? He played at UCLA, and he always had the Cardinal games. He was the color announcer for the Cardinals, like, this poor guy, he got him forever. Like the last 5 years, he did most of them.
I'm trying to think who it was.
Yeah. I guarantee he's not on this
list. His wife's a big agent, and they're absolutely insane about UCLA.
See, I never saw like the
white
home
guy,
Cardinal
black
games
guy.
Hmm? From television. But
no, not Dan Hicks.
Is he white guy or black guy?
Black guy. Pitts. Ron Pitts.
Ron Pitts. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ron Pitts. Yeah. I mean, he was every time. Ron Pitts.
Now, two things about that list.
No, hold on. Let me tell you something about Ron. I just thought of his wife's an agent, and she's big time agent over in L.A. And but nuts on the Bruins. I mean, nuts, right? And I had a conversation with her one time, and she was talking very seriously about her kid, who I gather was like 4, 5, 6 years old or something. And she was like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. It's a problem because, he put on like a, I don't know where he got it, and one of his uncles, he could put on a little SC sweater. And we're like, are you kidding me? This is not acceptable. You cannot do that. That's not funny. And then he started like humming the SC fight song or something. And she was in.
She put him out on the doorstep?
Wow.
I'm telling you. We were like, oh, that's funny. That's cute.
He's like, no.
No, dead serious. It was like if you put a Hitler jersey on or something. They were so...
Get a life category.
So pissed. No. Yeah.
Oh, anyway, two things on the list there.
Tony Kubek is number 35. That's not...
He was a great...
That's not good for the...
No. I haven't heard of half of these
people. No, he did the Game of the Week with Joe Graziola.
On NBC.
And Joe, our boy Joe, made 25.
Yeah. Oh, good. Joe Buck makes the list, and Joe's a good announcer. I have no problem with that. But his dad, Jack Buck, did not make the list.
That's not right. Jack Buck was...
Jack Buck is legendary.
Golden.
And Darren Sutton didn't make the list, and Don Sutton didn't make the list.
Wow.
Mark Grace didn't make the list.
I saw Don Tom Sutton. Today.
Phil Grace didn't make it.
I saw
Tom Brenneman.
Tom Brenneman, not on here.
No. Ooh. Too bad. Too.
Oh, my God. Here's a guy who's definitely jumping down.
Who's that?
Bud Collins.
Oh, the tennis guy.
Oh, jeez. The melodramatic. He is, oh, my God. In his prime, I didn't like that guy.
The other one I would have had
losers
on, the list,
on here, dude.
I would have had Harry Carey.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does he not make the list?
Well, because it's supposedly like national sports guys, but Harry was national.
He's national.
It's an arbitrary list.
Obviously. Oh, no, hold it. Vin Scully. I know this is controversial.
I can't believe he's down on Vin. He's really down on Vin.
You don't like Vin?
Yeah, you know why I'm down on Vin?
That's not American.
Well, maybe it is, and I understand this is controversial. Here's why I'm down on Vin, because as opposed to you folks, I have actually listened to Vin over the last few years many, many games, because when I'm in L.A., I'm a baseball junkie, I listen to Vin, and there's a lot of great things about Vin, a lot of them. Night, like you listen every night, not good.
Really?
Stayed at the fair too long.
Well, I think so, because, he's the only guy who works without a color guy. He works alone, and it's very, and he doesn't like to, well, first, there's two things. One, here's how he calls a game. Johnson winds in, there's the pitch. Ball one, low and outside. Oh, and here's the next.
Traditionalist.
Here's the next pitch. Strike. Okay, here we go. And then he might tell a little, but he never, the strategy of baseball, like, okay, now, like Grace is great at this. Okay, he's throwing him two curveballs. He's going away on him. I think he's going to bring him in. I think you ought to look at that. If you're a baseball fan, and you're obviously a baseball fan, if you're watching a game on television or listening to it on the radio, that you want to hear that stuff. That's what makes baseball great. People who go to baseball games and go, oh, it's boring, because they're only saying, did he get a hit? Did he strike out? Well, that is kind of boring after a while. But if you watch the strategy in baseball, you follow along, it's a fantastic game. Vin Scully refuses to say anything about – he refuses. That's one. Number two, I'm going in a rant here on Vin Scully.
This is
my summer nights.
Under up.
No.
He's on the line. Hold on.
No. Number two is a controversial call. It could be the worst call of all time. He will not say anything. I mean, even I hate the Dodgers, and for me to admit that the Dodgers had a call go against them is going to be the worst call of all time. But he'll just go, oh, man, he seems a little upset about that call. They show the replay. Clearly wrong. Manny's upset. And we're going to go to commercial. I mean, that's it. I know, but worst of all, here's the deal. I'll tell you this. This is when
we're
I
walk up.
No, no, no. Here's the worst of all. I listened to the game, and I can't remember what team he was on. Let's say he was on the Giants. Steve Kline, okay, a relief pitcher, and whatever team he was on. Let's say the Giants. Big Steve Kline's coming into the game now. Steve's a big right-hander, about 6'4", 220 pounds, out of Arkansas. You know, ball one, low and outside. Steve, Steve grew up on a pig farm in Arkansas, and there's a over the inside corner, 1-1. You know, Steve and his brother is now, Steve went back and bought that farm. And now his brothers run the pig farm, and it's a dream come true for his. There's a pop. And they've got, he's got it, and that's one down. Okay, well, nice story. Obviously, he's got it on a little card, the Steve Kline pig story.
Story, right.
Okay, fine. I got no problem with that. Don't get me wrong. The Steve Kline pig story, you got to fill up time. I'm not knocking him. The next night, this is my life. This is how boring it is. I'm watching, again, two teams that I hate, not even my team, on TV. Oh, here they are. Big Steve Kline coming in the game. You know, old Steve grew up on a pig farm.
Has some brothers.
Yeah. Told the same story.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Is anybody watching this game to go, hey, Vin, McFly, you told the same friggin' story last night. I said, okay, whatever. You know, I swear to God. This is last summer or two summers ago. Third night.
No, I didn't. No,
yeah,
come
third
on.
Night I said.
No, wait.
I'm praying Steve Kline comes in. You've got to redeem yourself, Ben. Come up with another Steve Kline story. Here he comes. Big Steve Kline comes out of the dugout or out of the bullpen. Here
Steve's
he comes.
Got some brothers.
He did it.
Oh,
and when
my
he
God.
Said, you know, Steve and his brothers, I go, oh, my God. Ben, are you insane? Stop telling that story.
Let me tell you, though, that's how he hooked an out-of-town baseball fan three nights in a row. You wouldn't have won.
That's the future of television.
Yeah, exactly. That's the future of
interactive television. That's right.
It's the wave of the future.
Unbelievable. All right. Okay. Well, we're going to, our final segment, we're going to go to Jay Glazer, Fox Sports, calling in. We've got lots of sports topics to talk about, so we're glad Jay could call in. Okay, so, all right, I think we are done. We appreciate everybody writing in, calling in, tuning in. We're going to go live, interactive, viral, whatever.
Wave of the future.
Wave of the future, interactive. Twitter, MySpace, Facebook.
I'll Twitter
you
if you Twitter
Welcome
me.
Welcome to the 21st
okay.
century.
Oh, thank you. In 2 weeks, it looks like. Okay, so appreciate everybody's comments. Just a select few are involved right now. But
we promise not to read your emails on the air.
Yes,
we thank you for Marlene for writing in, too.
Yeah, so everybody, let us know your input. We appreciate it. And next time, I think, is going to be our first big live viral show. Have you ever had a viral show?
Yeah, I had a shot, though, cleared right up.
Okay, thank you. Mark Cordes, Carrie Dozer,
sharing.
And Steve Closet of the house. See you next time.